Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program is being recorded for May 23rd, 2020. We're going to be looking at how do I stay positive. That's what everybody thinks they have to do. It's going to be quite a chore, isn't it? Oh, human beings and Americans, we just want to bypass the reality of any given situation. So we think we've got to stay positive. We'll talk about this. Of course, my answers to all of this are not going to be pleasant, but they will be helpful if you're in the right frame of mind and you're really looking for an answer. I am honored to help you with this, and I hope that I'm able to do so. We are doing every Saturday morning a Zoom discourse dialogue, and you are invited to join us if you would like, with all sorts of questions, not only about just the pandemic and all of that, but any question on the horizon of your spirituality, which is important to you. That will be very important to me, believe me. So I'm hoping that you will join us. We begin at 9 o'clock sharp. If you come to the website at aspire.org, you will see the announcement about the Zoom Saturday Discourse. Just go to that page and click on it and join us, and I would love to have you. And again, if you have any questions, there's a chance to really talk to me live and in person, so to speak, and that would be lovely for me, and I hopefully helpful for you. That's what it's all about. I just want to remind you of that. So here's the first question, and this one comes from Tim. He does not tell me where he lives. My mind worries about many different things. I have a worrisome mind, just period. I have lots of negative thoughts. How do I change this, Tim? Well, Tim, you're never going to change your thoughts. They're always going to remain the same. Now, this is the thing that most people just don't really want to get involved in. Our thoughts belong to our genetic nature. How our genetics, how our ancestorhood, so to speak, and our tendencies, our inclinations biologically relate to our DNA, how our genetic disposition, my mental acuity, that whole thing, how it interprets DNA. And DNA is always a 911 call. It's always saying, look out for this, look out for that. Oh my God, this, oh my God, that. That's what it's all about. It's just the way we're built as human beings. And Tim, if you think you're going to go in there and somehow change things, that would mean you would have to change the endorphins. You would have to change your chemistry in your body. Your testosterone will have a lot to do with it, because that has a lot to do with surviving. There's all sorts of things that would have to be changed in you. And if you don't think that you can change those things through the practice of what I call detachment, then you're going to be stuck with them. And even in the practice of detachment, which I will try to help you with here in a moment, you're going to have the same stories over and over and over again. You just are. It's a part of your genetic nature. It's part of your body. Now, I don't know your family, and I don't know who you really are, but I can tell you a few things. If alcoholism were a part of your family's genetics, if you have gotten involved in alcoholism during the course of your lifetime, you're going to find that it's going to be very difficult, or pot smoking, you're going to find it very difficult to try to control your thoughts. In fact, impossible. You will try to control your thoughts, but all for naught. It isn't going to happen. And you're going to find it more and more difficult. to deal with it, because you've trained your mind, you've trained those synapses to fire off in a certain way, and you're going to be doing the dance with your chemistry, needing something to help you overcome what you didn't do when you were younger. And I don't know how old you are, but most of us didn't take very good care of our minds. Most people didn't. I was one of the fortunate ones when I was younger to get involved in meditation, and it did help me immensely. Now, I'm a worrywart by nature. I just want to tell you this, Tim. I am a worrywart by nature. There are times I worry about the silliest things. I find my mind creeping up on me and saying to me, oh, what happens to the deer, you know, when it rains and things like that. I have that in the back of my mind. And when I find it creeping up on me, I laugh because I know exactly what's going on. It is my genetics trying to catch up with me, trying to do things to me, with me, for me, that it thinks will keep me in a line with whatever it is that I'm supposed to be doing. Things that make me confrontive with myself. Now, the whole idea of genetics is to find that catch-22 where you can't go forward and you can't go backwards. You can't worry and not worry all at the same time. It's a real, devilish kind of way that we have inside of us. It's the minutia of, in my case, Gregory's body and how he thinks of himself. So I have a worrywart mentality if I allowed it. But I've been through so much in the course of my lifetime. And 99 and 9/10 of the things I've worried about have not come true. I have been graced with some really kind and loving gestures from the infinite. So none of those things ever happened. And the ones that did were in my favor. They were trying to help me, literally trying to help me. But how I worked on it, Tim, was I moved back. I started to watch how my mind operates. Then when it starts to chatter and say all sorts of crazy things, I just watch. I do not talk to it. I do not engage it. I do not take it further and start thinking about, well, what about this? And what I don't do the whatabouts, none of that. In fact, I stay as far away from all of that as I possibly can. It is a practice. So if you're willing to detach from the things that make you worry, that mind, that ego, if you're willing to step back, step back, step back, and not get involved in all of that, and not entertain it, because really what's going on, Tim, is you want to go into a certain depression. And that depression is genetic. Now, I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything about your childhood. I don't know anything about your parents. But you have to look at it and see, do you have a propensity to go into depression? And if you have that sense that, I kind of do. I kind of find myself getting involved in that. If that is the case, then you need to take a deep look, a deep and profound look at what's going on inside you, and then not go there. Find the perimeters. Find the place where you get eaten up by it. Just look. How does this all happen in me? How do I get caught up in all of this? How does this hook me emotionally? If you understand how you get hooked, then you know, oh, this is a trick. And my body and mind are doing this trick to me. It's just the way it works in me. Now, when you look at it from that point of view, you have really done something magnificent with your life. Something outside the box, and you can look at your life and change the way you live your livingness. And you can. You can change the way you live your livingness. You just step back and you don't get involved. You don't look at it and get all involved in it. Doing it this way will help you immensely. And Tim, if you need more help, always feel free to get a hold of me or come to our Saturday morning dialogue and discourse Zoom thing and ask me more, and I'll try to help you even further. Thank you, Tim, for listening, and thank you for your kind email. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, there are a lot of things, conditions inside of us that we don't know about. Most of us, and you will hear me say this often, live, move, and have our whole life in the unconscious mind. And as long as I live in that unconscious mind, I am susceptible to my genetics and all sorts of collective unconscious assumptions. The next one comes from Frank. He does not tell me where he lives. This was an edgy kind of email. He talks about how meditation has never proved anything to him, or science or whatever. Don't tell me that meditation will make me a positive person. I need real help. Do you have any beyond your philosophy, Frank? Frank, I don't know, you even know why you listen to me. I'm not teaching a philosophy here. I am not teaching a religion. I am teaching you how to deal with a petulant mind that is constantly trying to make you not only worry, but become anxious, neurotic, and oftentimes psychotic. So I don't know why you ask me. I only know meditation. I love science and I am interested in it. I really am. But I'm not going to be the guy that tells you, yes, go smoke the weed. I've had students say, just tell us to smoke weed. I'm not one of those guys. And if you read Behave by Sapolsky, Robert Sapolsky, you can even look him up on YouTube and watch some of his lectures. If you were daring enough to do that, you would learn why I can't say what you want me to say. If you want real help, I mean, scientific, go to Robert Sapolsky. He's the guy. I mean, he nailed it. He understands it. And he understands what they don't understand. So there's so many aspects of his life and work that I think are incredible and very helpful to human beings. So go there. Go read the book Behave if you can. But real help, you say you need real help, and don't tell you that meditation is helpful. I can't tell you that. One man's meat's another man's poison. And there are some people who have the ilk, the inclination to meditate. They just have it. It's something natural in them. Life has, so to speak, beaten them down to a pulp, as it were, and has said many, many things to them that has made them either succumb or transcend into methods that are not, shall we say, traditional. Meditation has been around for a long, long time. And I am not going to sit here and say to you on this beautiful 23rd day of May that everybody can meditate. There are a lot of people I have found in this world who cannot meditate. It is not going to happen. They can start the process of meditation, learning how to overcome their mind just ever so slightly and push back from it ever so slightly. And that's a wonderful thing when a person can do that. But for the most part, they're not going to do that. They're just not going to do it. They don't have the ilk inside, the ability to look deep inside without their genetics grabbing them, their bodies and their emotionality grabbing them and distorting the whole effort. And especially if they've been at one time or another addicted to drugs, marijuana, or alcohol, pills, it's going to be very, very hard because the mind is trained now, the body's trained now to depend upon the accoutrement of that in the human body, changing the chemistry, and it won't do it on its own because why would I when I can just smoke or drink or take a pill and change things really rapidly? This is just the way people are. They want the fast, quick, easy way. Meditation is for the diligent. You have to cultivate meditation. You have to cultivate a lifestyle based in meditation. This meditative lifestyle is a lifestyle of living quietly. Three things that I teach my students: simplicity, solitude, and silence. In those three elements, you will find you can change many aspects of your life. But most people will not do that. They're not going to change it. They want whatever makes the rush of their emotions make them feel like they're alive. And because they live in such a manner, they miss. There is something to be said about discipline, inner discipline. It is a very important aspect of the spiritual life, of the life here on earth when lived consciously. But most of us don't have that interest at all. Not at all. Most human beings are interested in the biology and making it comfortable. If you look at it, if you really look at it, Frank, what have you been doing here on earth? Really? Just trying to make the body comfortable. Just trying to make this body that seems so condescending to your peace and your inner happiness, just trying to make it happen and make it happy. That's all it's been. The body, the body, the body. Whatever it wanted, whatever it thought it would make it happy, whatever was its whatever. This goes on and on and on in human beings. It just does. And it doesn't change. And people go on and on and on with it. They don't change. They make this their life. And they never question it. They never look at it and question, wait a minute, what have I made the absolute character of my lifetime? What have I made as the meaning of my life? They don't look at that. They refuse to look at that. So when you introduce the idea of introspection, just mere introspection, to look inside of oneself and see what's going on in there or what is taking place, people don't want to do it. They don't have the acuity to do it. And why? Because their emotions won't let them. Their emotions belong to their genetics. Their emotions are centered on DNA and survival. And so everything that is meaningful, everything that is succinct to being meaningful, just goes away, evaporates. You're not a meditator, Frank. You never will be, probably, in this lifetime. You'd have to start retraining your mind, retooling it. You're not going to do that. You don't sound like the kind of guy that is much interested in doing anything with their life but getting by and being eat, drink, and be merry type of mentality that Jesus talked about in his parable. And that's okay. I mean, if that's the way you need to do it, that's the way you need to do it. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong or bad or evil. I'm just telling you, you're not going to be able to authentically understand what's going on in the meaning of meditation. You're just not going to be able to do it. So, my dear man, you must do what you must do, okay? You must live what you must live. And if you understand what I'm saying to you, you will probably go on your merry way looking for cures from people that might have maybe, what I like to say, hard liquor for this. I mean, booze, marijuana, pills, you'll probably go to the easy road. And there'll be many a lifetime in that. And that's okay. One day or another, something that was said here to you will ring true deep in your unconscious in some lifetime or another. And who knows? Who the heck knows? May this lifetime not be arduous for you, Frank, and please forgive me. Namaste. Ooh, the road we haul. What can I do? I'm going crazy. This is from Julian. He does not tell me where he lives. I live alone, and I'm finding it difficult to be here with myself. Oh, my God, he said. What to do? Well, you know, you probably don't know yourself, and you're only knowing the part of you that your ego will allow you to know, again, through genetics. So maybe you should get in touch with yourself. This is a time of tremendous introspection. This is a time for all of us to start taking a profound look at our life and asking ourselves, what am I all about? Not who am I, what am I? People always ask the wrong question. Who am I? Well, you could be the who of many different things in your genetics, and you'd never know through the who, the what you are, the authentic. You would never know. The who is my ego. The who is my persona, my personality. If you go that route, you will miss your entire life and the meaning of what this livingness is really all about. Now, if you want to do that, if you want to miss all of that, you can miss it. There's no problem there. But if you want to live your life in accordance with something, shall we say, more profound, then use this time to simplify your life. Get simple. Work it down to being very simple. When you eat, just eat. When you sleep, just sleep. When you work, just work. Just keep it that simple. And live in the solitude of your heart. Live without the input of people telling you what you should be, how happy you could be, and where you should be in this world. Just live in the solitude where you're not taking input, as it were, from the outer world that's telling you, this is what you need to buy, this is what you need to get, and this is where you need to be. Just start looking at it from a different perspective. And then ultimately, while you're at home, you don't need to talk to people because you live alone, like me. Live in silence. You learn in silence to want nothing with all of your heart. It is one of the most blessed and beautiful of all experiences, I'm telling you. Julian, this is an amazing moment when silence takes over and we no longer need to have that heavy and cumbersome ego telling us what we should and should not be and where we should be and who we should be and what are they thinking and all of that other stuff that we like to get involved in. You just live one moment at a time. In each and every moment is the beauty of your existence. Don't let your mind be filled with a bunch of hogwash, of assumption. Don't be consumed by assumption. Live kindly, consciously, compassionately. In that silence, in that solitude, in that simplicity, oh, is the meaning of everything that is important in the way of our life. Thank you for your beautiful question, Julian. Thank you, thank you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back on the air mañana. Have a beautiful day, and I hope this helped you immensely. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.